go to the New Age Movement page, but then you should also have somewhere there a New Age Movement page with that's already filled in. But first go to the blank New Age Movement page. For the New Age Movement, their view on God is that God is impersonal. You know, God's an impersonal force or a non-personal force. And God is the universe. What's that? Yeah, God's an impersonal... Actually, it'd be more correct to say it is an impersonal force. Because, well, once you're non-personal or impersonal, you're an it, not a he or a she. So God's an impersonal force, and God is the universe. For creation, the New Ager believes that there was no creation. The universe is eternal. Now, you'll find a lot of New Agers that will try to support the New Age beliefs with the Bible, but that's usually more of the New Ager looking anywhere to try to find support for their beliefs. It's not really a whole lot of respect for the Bible, other than, you know, just growing up in America, which was Christian for so long, the Bible does seem to... hold more respect by Western pantheists like New Agers than Eastern pantheists would give it. But for the Bible, I would put that occultic experiences, you know, mystical occultic experiences are the ultimate authority. Occultic experiences are the ultimate authority. So if a New Ager had an out-of-body experience or even had a dream, that would hold more weight. Or their own intuition or little voice in their head, that's going to hold more weight than whatever the Bible says for them. Salvation for the New Age movement can be attained through reincarnation, Eastern meditation, but there's also a salvation on earth. A new age on earth that they're looking forward to. That's what makes the New Age movement a this-worldly pantheism rather than the otherworldly pantheism of Buddhism or Hinduism. In other words, Hinduism and Buddhism, they're looking at the hereafter and future incarnations. That's where their goal is. Whereas the New Age movement, they want to bring the New Age here on earth in this world, and it actually is more otherworldly pantheism leads to neglect like you see in India, but a this worldly pantheism actually leads to genocide. I think we saw a slaughter of multitudes in Nazi Germany, which was a this worldly pantheistic belief system, and now we have New Age leaders like Barbara Marx Hubbard calling for the extermination of one-fourth of the world's population. So, you know, there's the world is viewed as God, but it's the whole human race together. So, you know, if you have a dead branch to enhance the life of the tree, you cut off the dead branches. And so that's what the New Agers talking about when they talk about wiping out large portions of the world's population. Their view of the New Age view of Jesus is one of many manifestations of God. He's not Savior. So Jesus is kind of like, we're all God, but Jesus kind of manifested his Godness a little bit more, his Christ consciousness a little bit more than most people have. So, you know, Jesus is up there with Buddha and Gandhi in the eyes of New Agers. That your view of man is God, but keep in mind, man is impersonal or non-personal. There's no such thing as sin in New Age thought, although they really act like anybody who disagrees with them is a sinner, but they won't say it. But they really don't believe any such thing as sin, because when it comes to morality, they're moral relativists. So they reject absolute moral laws. Yet, you know, when they're screaming out "Save the whales," why? If there's no moral absolutes, why should we save the whales? Slaughtering the whales is no worse than saving the whales, because ultimately nothing's right and nothing's wrong. So the fact that they protest, try to save the planet and save the whales and do this and do that, they're acting like there really are things that are right and wrong in the fullest sense of the words. And then truth, there's no absolute truth. And, any belief system that denies absolute truth shoots itself in the foot. Because if there's no absolute truth, no things that are true for all people at all times and all places, then how can you defend your belief system? But when you compare this to New Age movement with Buddhism and Hinduism, you'll see many similarities there. Now, does everybody have that other page that says the New Age movement on top, and it's all typed out? Yeah, he's got it. Yeah, if you could find that.
Here's the front of one.
If you could find that, you're doing all right.
This one? Clear.
Okay, Rob, you might want to help him on the test. So.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Okay, I'm just going to touch on some of the stuff here. Definition of the New Age movement. The New Age movement is the current revival of ancient occultism. It's the occultism means that which is hidden or secret. You know, Deuteronomy 29:29 tells us that the secret things or the hidden things belong to the Lord. But what God has revealed to us, that belongs to us and to our children and to our grandchildren. In other words, God's revealed His word to us, and so we can take that and we should cherish it and pass it on to our children and their children after them. But there are some things that we can't, some truths or there are just things that we cannot find through the world of the senses, and God has chosen to refrain from giving us that information, and we should just be content. You know, I mean, if you want some information, you know, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? You know, pray to God, and if He gives you an answer, great. But if He doesn't give you an answer, don't go to a seance to bring up, your dead Uncle Harry to try to get some info from him. But that's exactly what the world of the occult is. It's rather than going to God, or if you did go to God and He said no, it's going to the a supernatural realm apart from God to try to get information. And the Bible said, pretty much teaches that places you in the demonic realm. You know, you might try to contact your dead Uncle Harry, but if it does look like Harry came back and talking to you, apparently what's occurred is there's a demon impersonating him. And so God, in order to shield us, to protect us from demonic deception, you know, forbids us to go into the secret hidden things. That's what the New Age movement today is, the current, it's the kind of the newest form of ancient occultism, revival of ancient occultism. It's the immersing of the United States with Hindu or Eastern thought, so Hindu, Buddhist-type thought. And but it brings with it the idea, an idea that's not a big idea, or at least it wasn't among Hindus and Buddhists, and that's the idea that man is evolving towards a new age of peace and enlightenment. Let me quote you something here. Technically, New Agers are pantheists, and they believe that the world ultimately is an illusion. But let me just read from page 150 from James Sire's The Universe Next Door. The New Age worldview is Western to a large degree, and never more so than in its insistence that the visible universe, the ordinary external world, is really there. It is no illusion. So what Sire is saying is that New Agers are more likely to believe that the physical world is real. Even though that's inconsistent with pantheism, New Agers are Westerners who have accepted Hindu and Eastern thought at the same time. Because they're Americans or because they're Westerners, they're so caught up in evolutionary science that many of them will not give up on the physical world. So you will find some New Agers who believe that the world is an illusion, the physical world is an illusion, but you're also going to find a lot of New Agers that believe the physical world is real. Now, how that fits in with their pantheism, I don't know. Now, we don't have much time to go into the Theosophical Society. Theosophy means wisdom of God, but it's actually the exact opposite of it. It was founded by Helena Blavatsky in 1875, and she brought her views to America. She encouraged seances and tapping into... She believed that all mankind were all brothers. We're all, the universal brotherhood of mankind. Now, in Christianity, you know, the Bible teaches that we're all brothers and sisters through creation, but the Bible teaches that's not enough. We also need to be brothers and sisters in Christ, brothers and sisters in redemption, or we're lost. But Helena Blavatsky just focused on the universal brotherhood in the sense that we're all already saved. And she wanted us to tap into our latent spiritual occultic powers through seances or whatever, and that many avatars, many manifestations of God had come in the past. Jesus was one of them, Buddha was another, but the world's awaiting one great avatar. And Blavatsky also taught that Lucifer got a bad rap, that Christianity gave Lucifer a bad rap, that his supposed lie in the garden that man shall become as God was actually the truth that sets us free. And Blavatsky, with her cult, that was the introduction to America of this type of thought. Now, we began to get... other belief systems that were very Eastern in their thought around this time as well, in the Christian Science and the Unity School of Christianity. But there was one founder of the New Age movement, it would be Helena Blavatsky, who was an occultist to the max. Later Theosophical leaders, Alice Bailey, Annie Besant, their writings are still popular to this day among New Agers. In fact, Barnes & Noble had Helena Blavatsky's Secret Doctrine and Isis Revealed right on their shelf. So her stuff is popular enough, once again, to just put right on the shelves. And the Theosophical Society used to have a publishing house called Lucifer Publishing, and then sales were low, so they changed it to Lucius Press. So right now it's Lucius Press, but it used to be Lucifer Publishing. The New Age influence today, it can be found in the public schools. You know, God forbid you allow a student for show and tell to bring one of their Bibles or to wear a shirt with Jesus's picture on it. But in the schools you can teach, Native American Indian religion, which is animistic. It sees personal spirits embodying all of nature and comes very close to worshiping the earth, or Hindu meditation or transcendental meditation can be practiced in public schools. You find it in business seminars, a lot of new age thought, new age leaders teaching business seminars, in politics now with the Green Party. But you also find former Vice President Al Gore, his Earth in the Balance, is a New Age book on how to supposedly save the Earth. We even have New Age influence in science. One book was The Tao of Physics, where from what's going on in quantum physics, we don't really know what's going on in quantum physics, the subatomic particle movement, that there's some scientists who are now arguing that maybe the Easterner is right and that we should view the universe as physical universe as an illusion and as less than real. The United Nations, we talked about that, how strongly they've been influenced by not just the New Age movement but the Theosophical Society and Theosophical thought. Liberal Christianity first went the route of when we went through Sires, the different stages that of how Western culture was dominated by the Christian worldview and then the deistic worldview, and then that led to naturalism, and now we're getting into more of a New Age type of thinking. Liberal Christianity followed that same path. It always tried to accommodate with the world. Always like liberal Christians apologize for being Christians. You know, we did. We caused all the world's problems. We Christians, and we're sorry for it, but we're trying to be more like you. So, whatever it is, the liberal Christian jumps on the bandwagon. So many of the liberal churches first became deistic. Yeah, there's a God, but you know, he doesn't intervene anymore. Doesn't answer our prayers. Doesn't perform miracles. And then even some liberal churches actually went a little Unitarian Universalist, an example of a very, very liberal church. The Unitarians argued God is only one person, so Jesus is not God. And then the Universalists believed everybody's already saved. Well, attendance was low for both organizations. I mean, if everybody's saved, why even go to church? And if Jesus isn't God, why go to church? So they merged. And so they get the Unitarian Universalist Church. Well, their attendance still was real low. So what they did then was jumped on the politically correct bandwagon. So even though they believed in the existence of some type of God, they started backing all these atheistic, secular, humanistic causes, like equal rights for homosexuals, pro-abortion, you know, abortion rights, and the list goes, the radical women's lib movement. And so they started backing all these movements, and it became, you know, maybe we'll bring some people in if we're just politically correct. And that helped their numbers a little. But now what you're starting to find is that liberal Christian churches are going beyond political correctness, and now they're allowing popular New Age authors to come in. We in Kitsap County on KITZ, we have a radio program, a call-in radio program, and two programs before us, we have the lady pastor from a Unitarian Universalist church, and she goes in, and it's nothing but a New Age program. And so we're finding many liberal Christian churches, they're Christian in name only, but it's really a New Age religion. And that's why there are some atheists who will argue that the Nazis were Christians. Because they did usually wear some type of Christian label, but in reality they had a New Age religion. Nazism itself was a return of the ancient myths and belief that the Aryan race was divine, and the Jews, as non-Aryans, were subhumans. They might pollute the genetic code of the Aryan race. We need to wipe out the Jews. The Aryans need to take over the world and evolve to a new age where the ultimate Aryan male is going to come into existence. The German race was divine, but the Führer, Adolf Hitler, was a fuller manifestation of the divine, so he could be worshipped. And they taught kids in the schools, and we had written documentation on that, how he taught kids in the schools with their textbooks to worship Adolf Hitler as their savior. A lot of New Age influence in movies today. The Star Wars are the most famous. I'm not saying don't watch Star Wars, but when you do watch it, just keep in mind where Lucas is coming from. And the Jedi knowledge is referred to in one of the Star Wars movies as a religion. They say the Force be with you instead of the Lord be with you. If you notice, the Force has a dark side and a light side. So Darth Vader turns out to be the good father of Luke, of one of the lead characters. So ultimately, God is an impersonal force who is beyond categories of right and wrong, and this force can be tapped into to give us power if you can just direct the force and use it for your purposes. And now even psychology, you know, we used to just counsel people from the Bible, give people biblical advice. Then all of a sudden, it became atheistic psychology with Sigmund Freud and eventually B.F. Skinner and behaviorism and Carl Rogers. But now psychology has reached the point where it's more of a New Age type psychology where, you know, they used to regress you. Psychology used to regress a person to when they were supposedly in their mother's womb, and try to help them through resolve past problems. Now, as out to lunch as that is, nowadays it's not uncommon to find a psychologist who will regress you into past lives because of this New Age influence in psychology. How many people here are aware of Scientology? I teach a course on the non-Christian cults, and I cover like 24 different cults, and Scientology, Theosophy is another cult I cover there, but Scientology with L. Ron Hubbard, his Dianetics, he wrote it as a psychological book, even though he wasn't a psychologist, where we can get people to overcome all their mental blocks, all their mental problems, if we could just get them to see that they're thetans, they're gods from other planets that came and seeded the planet Earth. And that's what Scientology is all about. So now you know a little bit, gives you a little bit more insight into why John Travolta is the way he is, and why, who's the other guy?
Tom Cruise.
Why Tom Cruise is the way he is.
Is he an alien?
Well,
they really believe that?
Yeah. And the two kinds of people are attracted to Scientology. One are people who are really hurting. And by the way, to become an operating thetan, to get rid of your mental blocks and stuff like that, you got to go through about $80,000 worth of their training. So, you know, that's a piece of cake for Travolta and Cruz. But if one of us was sucked into that, we'd have to take a second mortgage on our house to pay for that. And that's not all. You can go for further training than that. So, you know, Scientology is milking these people for their money, and it's really, really sad. But two kinds of people are attracted to Scientology. One are just hurting people who are emotionally hurting are often get caught up in it and then lose all their money. But also, people were gullible enough to believe that they're gods, that they're a god. And in Hollywood, that makes up an awful lot of people. You know, it's just... that's why, you know, sometimes we need to thank God for all the failures we've had experienced in our lives, because, you know, if I was as successful as like a John Travolta or a Tom Cruise, you know, I might have some of the same dumb beliefs that those poor guys have. And I can't think of any happier of a way. And I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but I can't think of a happier way to go to hell than to go there to the day you die thinking you're God. You know what I'm getting at? I mean, I can see being apart from Christ in most situations, it just tearing you up, and on your deathbed, you know, crying out for a priest or a preacher. But I could see a guy who thinks he's God just laying down knowing that he's going to die any minute and thinking he's going to be absorbed into the world soul. Yeah, and it's like, you know, Satan, you know, the first lie he threw at mankind, or maybe even the second, I have to read the account close, but the lie in the garden that he threw at man, he knew what he was doing. And okay, so some of the common New Age practices. Astrology used to be worshiping the stars. Now today it's just the belief that the stars control our destinies. Now, of course, the Bible says that God is in control and that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, Romans 8:28. So we don't need to look to the stars for our future. We just need to trust in the Lord, and we know that even if things go horrible tomorrow, God's going to work it for our good, because He promises to work all things for our good so long as we love Him and trust in Him. ESP, the whole ESP thing, even my dad thought that the ESP was just scientific. It really was an extra sense. The whole parapsychology movement really is nothing but occultism, ancient occultism, dressed up. And, you know, I mean, it's just the guys that are doing it now and experimenting with it now have PhD degrees and they wear three-piece suits, and they're real dignified. Telepathy, you know, mind reading, or psychokinesis, moving objects with your mind, or precognition, predicting the future, or clairvoyance, just knowledge of something. There's no way for you to know it through the five senses. Each one of these things, in one way or another, is either just clearly occultic, or it's something that just tries to mimic a supernatural gift that God gives to believers. Like, rather than the gift of prophecy, you have precognition, and also, ESP would not be, it's not a coincidence that that became, Americans' interest in ESP began to peak at the same time that our interest in Eastern religions began to peak. And at the same time that our interest in biblical Christianity began to wane. It's not a coincidence at all. It's all stems from the same causes. Eastern meditation, transcendental meditation, when it came to America, supposedly it wasn't religious. Supposedly it's just a relaxation technique. And no, transcendental meditation is in fact, I believe the Supreme Court even ruled that it was religious. But whatever the case, There are so many people. My sister Marie doesn't think that she's involved in New Age. She professes faith in Christ. She's Roman Catholic. But she's really heavy into angels, the big emphasis on angels today. And she does yoga and stuff like that. And doesn't even realize the New Age influences on her life. Okay, vegetarianism. I'm skipping over some of these. But vegetarianism, there are people that, you know, don't eat meat because they don't like meat. That's fine. You know, if you're a vegetarian, you just don't feel like eating meat, or maybe for medical reasons, maybe your doctor said you need to lay off the meat, that's fine. But it's when a person is a vegetarian for religious reasons, either legalistic and trying to obey Old Testament law, ceremonial laws fulfilled by Christ, or if a person is, even worse, if a person is a New Ager and or a Hindu and doesn't eat animals because they believe animals are divine. You know, yeah. So, and the problem there, too, of course, I think we mentioned this earlier, is if pantheism is true, not only are animals divine, but so are plants and dairy products. So basically, a consistent New Ager wouldn't eat anything. They just wouldn't refrain from, you know, refrain from eating meat. You know, and that goes hand in hand with the whole animal rights movement. And keep in mind, animals do not have rights. We should treat animals appropriately. Sometimes treating an animal appropriately is, you know, killing the thing and cutting it up right and throwing it on a barbecue, you know, I mean, because one of the appropriate usages for animals is to eat them. But, like, you know, killing buffalo just for fun, that is not Christian. These are animals are gifts to mankind from God. God gave man dominion over the earth. But it's just like if I gave you a gift and you took it and threw it on the ground and stomped on it, that, you know, that wouldn't please me. And so we need to handle God's gifts to us, such as animals, with respect, but not because they have rights, but just because we're stewards. God has made us stewards of that which He has given to us, and we need to be faithful stewards of what God has entrusted to us. Now, if animals had rights, with rights come obligations, responsibilities, and we would be holding animals accountable for their actions and arresting a lion for eating a zebra and, you know, things of that sort. So, what's that? Well, you know, and I could see it's because the owner is responsible if you're going to get a pit bull. I think a pit bull is a beautiful animal as far as just the muscle, the fighting ability, that type of thing. But if I were going to own a pit bull, I would see to it, no matter how nice the dog seemed, I would see to it that there was a very big, strong fence or kennel and a very big chain. And, I mean, that's a lawsuit waiting to happen, and rightfully so. But who they hold responsible? The human being. They were saying, they had a science program on Discovery Channel, and the guy was saying that we may never know if our choices are just chemical reactions in the brain. And he said, we'd like to think that that's not the case, because then there'd be no way to hold each other responsible for our actions. And we want to do that, you know. But, and I was laughing because it's like, what you're really saying is, I think science is proving or has proved that we're not responsible for our actions, but we can't face that, so let's treat each other like we're responsible for our actions. Well, you know, if man isn't free, if everything is if our choices are biologically determined, then even we can't be held accountable for actions. And we just cannot live that way. So as far as I'm concerned, if your worldview isn't livable, you need to trash it, and then you need to go back and check, well, what made us think that all our decisions were biologically controlled, biologically determined, because obviously that can't be true. You know, anybody who can't live consistently with their worldview, and I don't think is going to be, well, they shouldn't be successful, I'll put it that way. What's that? Sometimes they modify their view, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they will say, look, you Christians believe in an immaterial soul. You're out to lunch. That's a fairy tale. We have proven that the brain, when a decision is made, we can find a chemical reaction in the brain. So we're pretty sure that the brain causes it. So that is now scientific fact. Now, they'll say that, but then some guy robs their house, they call the police, they want the guy arrested. So sometimes they don't even modify their worldview. They hold to their worldview, but then they live like Christianity is true. And, you know, at least we Christians can hold to our Christian worldview and then live like Christianity is true. But, you know, those of other worldviews can't, because they got to live in God's universe. The only creator is not, you know, not Monty Hall, and let's make a deal where you get to choose which universe you want to live in. Everybody's got to live in this universe. It's the only one we have. Yeah, there you go. That's another Mormonism, another science fiction religion. That them is Scientology. Wicca. It's got the nonprofit status. There are Wiccan chaplains. There are some schools that were founded as Christian schools, Ivy League schools, where you can get a Master of Divinity degree and be a Wiccan. And it's modern witchcraft, worshiping the earth and trying to tap into the earth for power, supposedly to help mankind. And that's becoming more and more popular today. It's one of the fastest growing religions in America today. Fortune telling, palm reading, you know, crystal ball type stuff. All popular in New Age circles. Ecological activism, you know, we should be faithful stewards of the earth. We shouldn't want to see this planet trashed. At the same time, we don't worship the earth. But much of the ecological movement today entails worshiping the earth. We need to be careful. Also, by the way, a good portion of the environmentalist movement is based on bad science. And we need to be careful of that. Just because somebody's crying out that we're destroying the earth, and, you know, watch out for the greenhouse effect, and we're destroying the ozone layer. When you look at the scientists who are really investigating it, it really doesn't appear to be as bad as they claim. And that doesn't mean, you know, we need to still be faithful stewards. And if there's ways that we can pollute the world less, then let's do that. At the same, if it's a reasonable thing to do, by the way, you know, in other words, I'd be against. You know, Al Gore trying to get rid of the automobile. Okay? A lot of people don't realize the guy was the Vice President of the United States, and he believes that automobile gas is like the number one problem in the world today. And, you know, and these guys, you guys will go to the United Nations meetings and badmouth, you know, how these Americans are polluting the earth. These evil Americans are trashing the earth. And we need to, you know, get Americans out of their automobiles. But these guys always, you know, they fly from all over the world, and they always drive up in these big gas hog limousines. It's just like, and you know, if they ever outlawed automobiles, Al Gore and his UN buddies would have an exemption. and they would still be driving around these big gas hogs, and you know, we'd be pedaling our bicycles or riding a horse or.
What would be the point of that though? What would happen if cars
shifted into gas-powered pumps? Well, see, one thing we need to realize is that a lot of the New Agers, not Al Gore. Al Gore himself is a New Ager. He's gullible, but there are more brilliant minds than him that don't even embrace New Age type thought, and they are often pro-communist. Now, a lot of these people that are pro-communism, pro-gigantic government, and they want global government, a lot of them are actually capitalists, you know, who are richer than just about anybody else on Earth, but they want to destroy all competition, and the best way to do it is to have like a communistic, socialistic, one-world government, but to be one of the guys who's got a piece of the pie. And basically, there are people in high places who are saying, oh, you know, we have your interest at heart. We want to take care of you. But in reality, there are a lot of people who just want more power. And if that entails slaving large portions of the world's population, then so be it. But one of the things that has got to go before we can move to a one-world government, especially a one-world socialistic government, is Americans and their freedoms and their prosperity. That has to go. Because as long as we're prosperous, as long as we're free, you know, I mean, what the United Nations is, they want everybody on an even playing field. What they're basically going to do is reduce everybody in the world to the status of a third world country. You know, we hear this stuff time and time again. The United States has a small fraction of the world's population, yet we consume such a high percentage of the world's energy. And we also produce a high percentage of the world's energy, too. And we also are the most charitable nation on Earth. And so, I mean, this anti-American rhetoric, you know, isn't just coming from Islamic Arab nations. It's coming from the United Nations. And the whole idea of the redistribution of wealth, really, what it comes down to in New Age and United Nations circles, it just means take from middle-class America and give to the poor, which is just going to make everybody, including ourselves, poor, except for those who control the reins. Hillary Clinton was given a talk once about how doctors make way too much money. And they need to make a lot less money. If they want to be, you want to be a doctor, you want to be a servant, you know, it's irrelevant how many years of training it takes, irrelevant how much that education costs, irrelevant, they should just make a lot less money. And she's acting like that will cut down the cost. In actuality, we'll cut down the cost for medical purposes. The primary thing is lawsuits, these easy lawsuits. So it's the trial lawyers that are suing people left and right, or suing doctors left and right, that, you know, medical practice that would cost, you know, $25, you get charged $350 with all these extra expenses. You know, sometimes a doctor, Larry Burkett, said he had a knee problem. The doctors knew what it was, and every 10 years he would have to get one shot, which would take care of it for, like, you know, for 10 years. But because a doctor, even if he's dealing with a known thing on the leg, a known problem, because if there's some other problem that he doesn't know about, a patient could turn around and sue the doctor. It forces the doctors to run sometimes 10 times as many tests as need to be run just to cover themselves, just in case. So then you got all these extra costs, and then they also have to charge you higher because they're going to get sued anyway, somewhere down the line, so they got to pay for this massive insurance. And anyway, Hillary Clinton told this group that doctors need to get paid less. Somebody raised their hand, and this is when she was the president's wife, and somebody raised their hand and talked about how much money Hillary Clinton made as a lawyer before she was the vice president's wife. And she said something like, well, that's different because I'm a servant of the public. And so right after saying that doctors, because they serve the public, they should be willing to take less money. It's like she sees the liberal lawyers as they take care of the little people, so they have the right to live like kings and queens. But anybody who doesn't fit into their definition of the liberal elite, you know, they can get by on minimum wage. And I'll tell you, I don't. If half the lawyers on the planet were out of work tomorrow, I probably wouldn't lose any sleep over it. But I want to know that if a guy's going to operate on my heart, I want to know he's well paid. You know, I don't want him having financial problems and he's worrying about them. And you know, what am I? My dentist, the last time he worked on me, he was pulling out roots, and he had a left side Novocaine, but twice he pulled too hard, and with his instrument he hit the right side of a tooth on the right side, you know, that really hurt, and so both times he said sorry. And you know, what an intimidating word when a dentist is working on your teeth and he says sorry, because you're wondering, is he sorry because he hit my tooth, or is he sorry because he chipped it, or what? You know, what's going on here? I guess.